following is the President's speech at Grand Junction, Colorado, Tuesday, September 21st,
Democratic Party, Mr. Mayor. Right all right?
I had a good week last night.
To the thousands of citizens of Western Colorado gathered here in Grand Junction this morning, it is with pride and pleasure that we present to you the President of the United States.
Senator Walker, I appreciate most highly that introduction. I was hoping that I'd have an opportunity to see you. I didn't know I'd have the honor of being presented by you to this great crowd. I've had a most pleasant stay in Colorado. From the moment I hit Hugo early yesterday morning until today, this morning, when we're leaving the state. Colorado is a great state. Colorado, you know, is about half made up of Missourians. Every place I go, when people come in to see me, they very carefully inform me that either they themselves were born in Missouri or that their parents came from Missouri to Colorado. My grandfather used to run a wagon train from Westport, now part of Kansas City, Missouri, to Salt Lake City and Denver and San Francisco from 1846 to about 1860. And I've heard a great many stories from him on how the opening of this country came about. It was a long time, you know, before the people east of the Mississippi River could understand that the people out here didn't wear horns and a tail. Some of them still think that. There are a great many people east of the Appalachian Mountains who are not yet sure that it's safe to come out west because they're afraid that Wild Bill Hickok or some Indian chief will scalp them. I was at one time hopeful that sometime or other we could establish a summer capital between Denver and Colorado Springs and bring all those eastern fellows out here and let them see just exactly what kind of a country they've got this side of the Mississippi River. I haven't been successful in getting that done. You are vitally interested, however, from your own economic welfare in the policies pursued by the federal government. The federal government, if it does what it should, can cause the development of the West to proceed from now on at a much greater rate than it has up today. There are a great many projects in which the federal government is vitally interested. Reclamation, irrigation, power. They are the lifeblood of the West. And I want to say to you that in 1946, a great many of you stayed at home on election day, about two-thirds of you. One-third of the people elected a Congress, which I call it. The Republican do-nothing 80th Congress. And the policies pursued by that Congress are an index as to what will happen to you if the Republicans get control of the government. Now, if you stay at home this time on election day and let them get control of the government, you deserve just what you get. The Reclamation Act is on the books for 30 years. And not much was done about it until the country in 1932 elected Franklin D. Roosevelt to be President of the United States. From that time on, development of the West has seen a rolling advancement. More projects, more land was opened up than ever before in the history of the whole reclamation law during that administration and during the 3.5 years that I've been in the White House. If you just study history, you can't possibly afford to go along with those people who want to turn the clock back. The Republicans haven't any program. They haven't any program. They're still crying the same thing that they cried in 1946, that there ought to be a change. Well, you've got a change in 1946, and look what you got. You got your reclamation projects cut down. You got your power projects, in most instances, wiped out. Every appropriation that affects the West was slashed. And it was slashed with malice aforethought. Because the people who are in charge of those appropriations committee and the committees in the Senate and the House, one of them comes from up in New York, the chairman does, and the other one comes from New Hampshire. And what do they know about the West? I don't think either one of them ever set foot west of the Appalachian Mountains. Chairman of the Appropriations Committee of the Senate may sometime or other on some Senate joint have been out here, but he didn't know what he's looking at when he saw it. You want to be careful now when you go to the polls next November the 2nd. Look, 2/3 of you stay at home. All of you get out there. And if you want to do yourself a real favor, you send Ed Johnson back to the Senate. You'll send Mr. Aston Long here to the Congress. Sabotage. The Republican in the crowd. I've had a most pleasant time in Colorado. Your governor has been most hospitable to me. He's a good Democratic governor, and I hope you'll continue to have Democratic governors in Colorado. I met most of your candidates for Congress. They all impressed me as being fine gentlemen. I want you to bear this in mind. Not only do I want you to vote for me, as I've said time and again in Iowa and Colorado and everywhere I've been, but I want you to vote for yourselves. Vote for your own interests. You can't possibly reestablish another 80th do-nothing Republican Congress and a Republican president in the White House. You can't afford to do that. And if you just go polls and vote, I won't be troubled by the housing shortage. I can stay in the White House. I'd like to present my family to you, if you're interested in meeting them. Mrs. Truman. I usually introduce her as the boss. She says it's not solo. My daughter. Margaret.
Thank you. Captain. Are you willing to appear on the platform 11 miles west of here so the school children can see you as you go through the...
Fine.
He was in the White House. He brought me this picture. From the boy in the seven up there. Picture of the Clairvoyant. What's in here? Always got all the booklets about Glenwood Springs.
Very glad to meet you, Mrs. Truman.
Certainly delighted to see you.
Oh, wonderful.
Who said they were? Bush and Bush had been set on the ground and robbed because of the pit market.